6-1-3 Wrestling. With your hosts, Kyle Joseph and Mark Cote.
Hey everyone, this is Kyle here for 613 Wrestling, the podcast for fans, by fans, about fans. No, it's about wrestling. I am here today in the 613 Wrestling studio. Mark will be joining after the break, where I will be leaving. No, we just couldn't get our schedules again today, but that's part of life. And the lovely thing about technology is we can each provide our words and our thoughts, and then we can bring it together and have you guys enjoy. So hopefully next week we'll have an opportunity with school being back, and hopefully it won't be too hectic, that we will have everyone back and ready to talk wrestling again. So that being said, in this half, this will be the Kyle Joseph half, I will talk about my thoughts on Raw and SmackDown this week. I also want to just give a little bit of an update on where we're at with the C4 season opener, Undisputed, taking place September 20th. And then maybe just a little chit-chat about anything else wrestling related that is worth mentioning. So stay tuned, and after the break, I will be back. Well, thank you so much for holding the roughly 10 seconds while I got my stuff together, and we're back. So this week, again, I wanted to just kind of go over what happened on Raw and SmackDown. I'm not going to go and read all the moment by moment, but do want to set the expectations of my thoughts, if that makes any sense, or if at this point I'm just rambling. And then I also wanted to cover where we're at with King of the Ring, and as well as what's been decided so far for the upcoming pay-per-view Clash of Champions, where all belts will be on the line. So first things first, let's just cover some Raw. Let's just do it straightforward. Do some Raw and then do some SmackDown. So here we go. We talk about the opportunity that Braun Strowman had to, I guess, hold all the bets. And thankfully, AJ Styles defeated Braun Strowman through a very Eddie Guerrero-esque play with the chair. I thought this was the best way to keep the belt on AJ without weakening the monster among men. I thought it was clever, and I think it really worked well for this match. Again, though, got to be really careful that AJ doesn't kind of get lost in cheap wins and make sure that he, you know, has an opportunity to defeat these tough guys. As well, we got Sasha Banks giving some answers for why she did it. You know, I think it's a typical storyline that we're at here right now. I do like that they're really not shying away with what happened, why she was off and how she feels. I think it's important because everyone knows. And I think that when you start playing with the truth and bring it into your storylines, then things become a little more believable and you get a little more interesting because there is that bit of truth. We also had the match with Italia losing. I do like a little bit though that Italia is really starting to fight back without being on the mic, because I've discussed this before that I think her mic skills are questionable at best. And so at least this way, and she's not trying, she's really fighting it. She really wants to show that, she's not happy with the way Sasha Banks treated her. My only hope is that this isn't going to lead directly to a Becky Lynch match. I want to see more of a build-up. I think that there's an opportunity here. I would actually like to see Sasha really kind of beat up on Natalya some more. And, maybe at the next kind of TLC or whatever match, then maybe that's when we get a little more hardcore at Natalya. And that would be an interesting thing to see. And then we would go for there. But I don't want to see Becky yet. I want this to wait till maybe Survivor Series. I think this would be a good spot. I don't necessarily think you need to do the Raw versus SmackDown anymore, given that it's clearly kind of non-existent anymore, with exception of the belts. So I don't think you necessarily need to do that at Survivor Series, but you know, maybe perhaps we'll see. But I am definitely interested in a Sasha Becky storyline. Hopefully we'll get one, but hopefully it'll be of a solid build up and not just a rush job to, because people are really happy that Sasha's back. As well, we had I don't know why they call it anything different. A tag team turmoil match, which essentially was just a tag team gauntlet match. I don't think it necessarily needed any sort of special naming. And this one really got on my nerves. It really did. I think the two best tag teams that you have in the ring that were possible to compete, which was the Viking Experience, Viking Raiders, War Experience, whatever you want to call them, and the OC, and you knock them out in this kind of lame double DQ. This was your opportunity to really set the tone that there is other people out there other than the typical Revival and the Usos. But then again, you've just crapped all over your tag team division by having two singles join together and win. And I know that the B team lost, which is fine, and then the Raiders and the OC were disqualified. You had Bobby Roode come in and defeat the Lucha House Party, and then they defeated the Revival, which is just bananas to me. And then you had them defeat Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins to win. Like, it just doesn't add up to me how you can say that you have a solid tag team division when your tag teams aren't even in the top two, according to what your matches are for Clash of Champions. So all in all, that was really disappointing all the way through. Really, you have four solid tag teams in, you know, SmackDown and Raw. Five if you count the bar, but I mean, at this point, who knows when Sheamus is going to be back, if ever. And so it just didn't make sense to me. Bayley beating Nikki Cross was, again, Bayley's the SmackDown champion. I think if you're champion, you really should be on your own show. You really should be pushing your own show. And that's the other thing, too, I kind of have issue with this crossover, is you're crossing them over for no reason. At least give them a reason to why they're on the other show. They started a beef with somebody that somebody moved shows, or that somebody called somebody else out on their other show, then yeah, sure, I can see that. But at this point, you're just having a you're calling them out for the sake of calling them out, and that really doesn't... That really grinds my gears, as the great Peter Griffith would say. And then, you know, you had Cesaro losing to Cedric Alexander. I just feel bad for Cesaro. He's in a really tough spot, because it's almost like they've instantly aged him into this, like, Cassius Ohno type character, where he's facing all the young guys, but he keeps losing. He should have destroyed Cedric Alexander. I still think Cesaro is strong. I think he still has a lot to offer, and this was an opportunity for him to show people that he's still there. So that was unfortunate. Well, I won't talk about the King of the Ring yet. I'll get to that once we, cover both. Kind of cover the bracket at the same time. SmackDown, New Day got beat up again, which is, right up the right alley. I think they're better as the kind of wrestlers or story guys or whatever you want to call them that have to come back from adversity. And so I think this is really good. What are they calling it? The Shatter RKO, I think works really well. I mean, those three are great. I think that's the kind of thing where you can join two heels together and for a common goal. And this really works. You don't have to give them their own name, even though it's, FTRKO, Forever the RKO. But again, you have that. Then I'm going to hold off on the Daniel Bryan business for a second here. Let's just cover the rest of it. The rest of the, and to be honest with you, all in all, both shows this week were, I felt like, really lacking any sort of direction or... it seems almost like a scramble, and we're just going to kind of throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see if it sticks. The 24/7 thing was interesting. You're getting in the Fox sports analysts involved. I think it's the right idea to try and integrate Fox in preparation for the move. And, Bayley fought again. I mean, even her story with Charlotte Flair is an old story. It doesn't really make any sense. We don't really know why we even care. The SmackDown Women's Division is severely lacking in suitable personalities to match up with Charlotte. I think they really need to bring Carmella back and have her be that strong, you know, even though, like, break her away from 24/7, put her back in the ring, put her back on the mic, because she was good on the mic, and she was good as a heel. She doesn't have to be as heel as Charlotte, but we need to start bringing her back, because it can't just be Bayley and Ember Moon and Charlotte. Like, that's just so weak. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Miz has started this thing with Sami Zayn and Shinsuke. Not too sure where this is going to go. I'm assuming it's going to lead to a Shinsuke-Miz match. Probably at Clash of Champions. But Sami Zayn will be getting involved, at least for now, until who knows how long this is going to happen. And then there's this. This is what I wanted to wait for. I was hopeful. I was not hopeful at the beginning of this storyline with Roman Reigns being attacked. I thought the whatever it was backstage that fell at him was really poorly done. But the car thing stepped up. I thought that it had the potential, because this was one of the kind of like an old school storyline where you're actually getting, you know, there's that chance that a car crash goes wrong. And so that was interesting. And then last week when we talked about this stunt double person, that was the person that Daniel Bryan thought was the person who did it. And that turns out after this new footage, which somehow took 3 or 4 weeks to show up, turns out that it's Eric Rowan. And then Daniel Bryan snaps and slaps around and stuff, which, man, those slaps looked vicious. I just don't get it. I don't understand. If you want to put Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns in the ring together, there's a much easier way of doing this. There's a much more effective way. I've lost the Daniel Bryan that I liked. I wasn't even a big fan of the Yes Movement Daniel Bryan, but at least I could respect it. And he was very... Kofi is very much like the Daniel Bryan. But when he turned heel, I was all for it. When he was the Eco Warrior, when he had his own, you know, Eco Belt, and he was ranting on the crowd for their processed food and everything, he was so incredible. And then he lost the belt, never really got his chance back, ended up in this tag thing with Eric Rowan, and then gave them the belts, they didn't do anything with it, and now it's just like he's fallen off again. And unfortunately, Daniel Bryan is so good that you wish they were doing more with him. So that's really unfortunate. So before we get into the King of the Ring, let's talk about where we are so far with Clash of Champions. So far, the match set is Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship. We also have Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton. And hopefully we will get an actual end. It would be really disappointed if we don't. We have the SmackDown's Women's Championship, Bayley versus Charlotte Flair. We have the Raw Tag Team Championship, which is four singles competing as two teams. Drives me bananas. The Cruiserweight Champion, which I can't watch 205 Live. There's just too much wrestling. But again, we have this number one contenders match with between Oney Lorcan and Humberto Carrillo. And Humberto wins, so he's going to face Drew Gulak, which is fine, but we still don't have... Seems like we don't have any proper stories. We're just moving from match to match, which is okay, because it's more like the Cruiserweight Championship, but don't put it on a show then. Because if you're going to make an old show out of it, then it's got to be something that's, you know, that brings people in every week. And unfortunately, because it's on the network, it's not on regular television, not everybody tunes in the network. And especially because the network lately for Canadians has been a big pile of crap, that we're kind of, you know, stuck here, right? We don't really have an easy feed to our access, or easy access to the feeds. So things become a challenge. So that being said, that's where we're at right now with Clash of Champions. So we will have an opportunity to break down each match once they're solidified, and we'll do that in a preview show leading up to it. That being said, Clash of Champions will take place Sunday, September 15th. So that's in 2.5 weeks. So hopefully we get the rest of the card ironed out because we have the women's tag to deal with. We have the, I guess, the SmackDown tag, if that's going to happen. We have 24/7. We have Intercontinental. We have the U.S. title. So there's a lot of titles still to be discussed and brought up. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll have some more clarity. So now we come to the King of the Ring. And this is just, for me, it's been a real disappointment. I think you had a lot of really solid, great talent that were definitely some of the 1B, you know, not necessarily competing for the main championships, but definitely could at any point in time. They just need to get them in a match. And then you have a mix of, you know, your mid-cards and stuff. So it was really an opportunity to showcase. But these outcomes just don't jive with me. They don't make sense. So obviously Mark and I are out in our prediction of Drew McIntyre winning it all. Thing number one that doesn't make any sense to me. How does Drew lose to Ricochet? I feel like Ricochet should have gone to 205 Live and could have really, really made that show something. And he would showcase that show, similar to the way they had Neville and even to some extent Enzo. But I just don't get why he's beating all these big name guys cleanly. Like, Drew McIntyre lost cleanly. And I just don't get it. He's supposed to be this big, strong badass who takes out Roman Reigns, who takes out Kevin Owens, who takes out all these people, and he can't beat Ricochet. It really irked me. We also had The Miz losing to Baron Corbin. This one, I don't know. I'm okay with, only in the sense the way Baron Corbin won. I like when he catches people out of surprise with his end of days. It makes the most logical sense for me. Plus, if The Miz is really meant to be Intercontinental Champion, then you don't need the King of Ring. You can just, you know, give him the one belt. And also, he has the possibility to go after the, you know, the big titles again, easily. SmackDown, we had Ali and Buddy Murphy. This was a fantastic match all the way through. Ali winning, which is fine. Buddy Murphy winning, which would have been also fine. I think either one of them, these guys were solid efforts. It's part of the problem of 205 Live is these were your strongest performers, and then you moved them off the show. But now they're finally getting a showcase, especially Buddy Murphy. And I think he's really got a lot to offer. And then Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, who had this kind of funny lead up to it. And it's interesting because until he started doing the short jokes, I don't think I ever really noticed how short Chad Gable really was. He just seems so tiny. And I don't know if they're making it on purpose where they're elevating everybody else. But man, he is short. In fact, although, so it says he's 5'8", and it's now offended. I just offended myself. As a person who's 5'9", 5'9 and a half, if I'm really counting, I don't think I'm that short, but man, they really make him look short next to everybody else. So, but he got the win. So, I mean, I think this is the only underdog that I was kind of okay with winning. Everybody else, maybe Cedric Alexander versus Sami Zayn, because Sami Zayn can lose, and I don't think it really changes one way or another. So I just don't know, you know, how we go. I mean, I think Andrade should destroy Chad Gable. And I think that really Chad Gable's best bet is to see if Jason Jordan will ever get back to full health and then reunite them for American Alpha. I mean, still using the music. I think that this is probably his best bet. Chad Gable really, however of a great wrestler he is in the ring and how incredibly strong he is, he is just best suited for a tag. I think that's just the way it's going to be for him. He's really going to struggle to continue to go on his own unless he really cuts down weight and joins the 205 Live crew. And then Elias is going to take on Ali. I hope Ali wins just because I'm, you know, me personally, I'm not a huge Elias fan anymore. And so if we don't see him anymore, that's great. And then the other side we're looking at is Samoa Joe versus Ricochet. My hope is that Samoa Joe wins, but now that it's versus Ricochet, I just can't see it happening. They're going to push Ricochet, and I think Cedric Alexander is actually going to lose to Baron Corbin, just because for whatever reason, they just like pissing the crowd off, and you can't piss them off any better than putting Baron Corbin in a winning position. He's a fantastic heel. I think he's one of the best heels in the company right now. Everyone hates him, and that's intentional. And I think that's important. So I think he's going to win. And I now, kind of re-examining, I feel like we're looking at and maybe an Ali Ricochet final, or, you know, really realistically speaking, that makes the most sense. Or Andrade. I mean, Andrade Ricochet would be a very interesting match. I just feel like after Ricochet beat Drew, I think that you'll end up seeing Ricochet in the final. Whether he deserves it or not is really neither here nor there. But all in all, so far, I feel like the outcomes of these matches in the first round have really been, for the most part, disappointing. I do feel like there was better options for playing this out. But then again, I don't work for WWE, so I have no idea what's going on. All right. Whew. That is my recap of WWE. So it's like this week's in wrestling. But I feel like that's this week in baseball, TWIB. But here I am ranting on because I'm talking to myself in my studio. So a couple other things that wanted to just bring to people's attention. This weekend, we have a couple of quote-unquote pay-per-views. The NXT UK Cardiff, which is in Wales, is coming this weekend, as well as AEW's, what is it called? Not All In, All Out? All Out. All or Nothing. All Out. Yeah, it's kind of a weird. All Out is coming. I don't want to break down the matches because, frankly, I don't really have an opinion. But I will certainly watch it this weekend. And next week, we will kind of just provide our opinions on how the pay-per-views went. There's only so much wrestling a person can watch. So at this point in time, you know, we're going to focus on WWE because it is what we watch. And all the local stuff. But we'll still provide our feedback and opinions on other stuff in the wrestling news. Speaking of AEW, one of the other things I wanted to just bring to mind, and I know that, in speaking with one of our fellow wrestling fans, shout out to Alan, we were talking about the possibility of Tony Schiavone joining the AEW team, and that has been announced. So at least they're getting a massive step up. We got Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross with Excalibur running your announce team. I think that's going to be the television crew as well, which is funny to do a three-man announce team. But hey, it's definitely better than the other guy. Really, anything can be better than the other guy. I'm just waiting for Mike Tenay to join the crew, and we'll be set with our WCW reincarnation. All Out, we'll have some matches of significance, especially as it relates to the upcoming television. They have started selling tickets for their weekly shows. If and when they come to Canada, who knows? But we will certainly have to wait and see. And you know, as we go, we'll talk a little bit more AEW as things become interesting. Don't want to waste time in talking about stuff that we don't necessarily really need, don't really know about, because you guys have things to do all day. And listening to us talk for 6 hours about stuff we know nothing about doesn't really help you. So that being said, as well, we have Undisputed, which is the C4's season premiere coming September 20th. I will tell you, luckily for me, because I already got my tickets, the VIP front row all sold out, which I think is probably the fastest that I've heard it be announced that it was sold out. So that's great news for C4. I think this charity show, with a lot of people coming because Cody was coming, I think it also gave them an opportunity to see what C4 is all about. And as a result, we really get to see, we really get to bring new people in to share in our enjoyment as C4 fans. So yeah, so the front row is all sold out. You can still get your other tickets. Let's see here. You can get them at Vertigo Records on Rideau Street, Other Side Tattoo on Gladstone, the Odds and Sods Shopapee on Maryville Road, and obviously at the venue, St. Anthony's Hall. So don't miss out, because there, you never know, this could be a chance where we sell the entire thing. And by we, I don't know why I say we, but I feel like I'm part of the family now because I love going so much. And maybe Mark will be nice enough to let me in, part of the family. Just saying, Mark, just throwing that out there. Shout out, though, to Mark and his feedback from our show last week. That's not Mark, co-host Mark. It's another Mark. Appreciate the feedback on the charity show. And I promise to everybody that I will do a much better job of making much better notes as to who is wrestling who and what the outcomes were. Even though it's hard because I get so involved in the action, but I promise I will make a much better effort. So Mark, co-host Mark and I can sound a little more professional. So that being said, here we go. So there is a couple of matches already been announced. One of the main events in the co-main event is the Walking Weapon will be defending his title versus Lufisto, which is super interesting. It's I think it's a first time ever match, at least at C4. I thought she did really well against the Beast King at the charity show. So we will see, how this works out. This one's going to be really interesting. I wouldn't even say it's contrasting styles because Lufisto hits pretty hard. So I think she's got a bit of strong style. It's going to be obviously a size difference. And so we'll just see how this goes. I feel like this will be a lot closer to the Beast King match versus the Benjamin Toll match, where it just looked awkward and uncomfortable. And the other co-main event is a triple threat tag team match for the C4 Tag Team Champions. We have the Diamond Tiger, Kobe Durst, and Matt Angel defending their tag team's titles against Tabernacle Team and LAX. Not of LAX officially, because I think that's an Impact term. Santana Ortiz, who are great guys in general. And, you know, so I'm looking forward to that match. Hopefully, I'll be able to score myself an LAX t-shirt this time. But you never know. So that's so far it's been the match. You know, there'll be obviously more announcements as the weeks come on. And we'll be sure to update everybody with those. On one other C4 note, one thing I didn't mention last week was the appearance of Cecil Nix in the over-the-top match, which was actually looks like one of Cecil's last matches for now. He's taking some time off to, I guess, you know, re-energize and reprioritize. And so wanted to thank him for, you know, all the interactions I've had with him. It's been nothing but fantastic. And I think he's done a lot for the local wrestling community. So just wanted to thank him for that. And we'll hopefully see him fresh and ready to go in the near future. So that being said, I think that wraps it up for me. I mean, I could sit here and talk wrestling all day, but again, it's not just about me. So Mark will be back after the break with his take on life, and then we will talk to you all next week. So once again, thank you so much, everyone, for your ears, your kind words, and your feedback. Don't forget to check us out at the old Twitter and Instagram and YouTube at 613 Wrestling. If you think we suck, you could tell us we suck. We'll like any feedback. But I will take a shout out, or I will give another shout out to all the people listening to our last week's podcast, one of our highest numbers to date. So that was really exciting and really happy that it's not Mark and I just talking to each other for ourselves. So once again, thank you very much for listening. Shout out to Mark, Ryan, Alan, and Pete for always providing those feedback on participating in our discussions. And hopefully we get to hear from more. And that's it for me. So Mark, take it away.
What is going on? Hello, everyone. It's my turn. Kyle, thanks for kicking off the episode. I do apologize once again, guys, for Kyle and I not being able to get together this week. Unfortunately, things didn't work out as hoped. The night we were supposed to record, not only did I have a very long day at work, but also I had the biggest headache. Tried to get rid of it. Didn't go my way, but I got some rest. We're pretty good now. But we still want to give you guys an episode. Number one, just want to say huge thank you to all of you guys out there that support and watch, listen, subscribe to 613 Wrestling Podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Google, everywhere. Last week's episode, we actually had one of our most downloaded in quite some time. We're not the biggest podcast, so by no means am I talking about thousands of listens, but when Kyle and I started doing this, it wasn't about how many listeners we got. We just wanted to share our love for professional wrestling with you guys, and you guys have shown us so much more love, you know, in a short period of time we've been doing this than we expected. So truly, thank you guys so very, very much. So today, I'm going to keep it sweet and simple. Nothing too crazy this week in the world of wrestling. Of course, you know, we had Raw and SmackDown with WWE. That's what I want to focus on primarily today. I'm going to give my review of Raw and SmackDown, as well as the King of the Ring. But I guess we should talk about the King of the Ring. Both Kyle and I last week, we made our, the last 2 weeks, we've made some King of the Ring predictions. And I feel like the Street Profits were already... We're out. Both Kyle and I did call Drew McIntyre to win the King of the Ring. For those of you who may not know yet, Drew McIntyre lost in the first round against Ricochet this past Monday on Raw. Don't get me wrong, I don't hate it because I love the unexpected. I love being shocked. The fact that Drew didn't make it all the way to the finals, or at least deeper than he did, he didn't make it deep at all, is quite intriguing. Of course, looking back on what we predicted, Kyle predicted that the finals of the King of the Ring, I know we kind of talked about Raw side, SmackDown side, a little bit of brand splits all over the place, but on the Raw side, he had Drew McIntyre, and then on the SmackDown side, Andrade, with Drew winning. I did choose Ali going to the finals on the SmackDown side, but also Drew on the Raw side. However... with a pretty darn good match, Ricochet with a clean win over Drew, that kind of eliminates both Kyle and I out of the King of the Ring guessing game prediction altogether. So best of luck to everyone who still has someone in their brackets. So obviously right now, you know, when you look at who we have left, we have 8 individuals remaining in the King of the Ring moving forward into the next weeks. Obviously, as we do know now, the King of the Ring finals will be determined at Clash of Champions, which is kind of fitting. I personally would have preferred it if they did a King of the Ring pay-per-view like they did in the past. You know, I remember, you know, way, way back in the day, one of my biggest things that I loved, not just about the King of the Ring concept, but the fact that you kind of... you know, week over week, you know, on your weekly shows, you break down, you have your first rounds, your second rounds and all that. But then you kind of finalize with 4 individuals. And then on the night of the King of the Ring, they would usually do, you know, essentially to become the King of the Ring, you would have had to have won 2 matches that night. So looks like right now the individuals moving forward in the King of the Ring is Samoa Joe versus Ricochet. Cedric Alexander versus Baron Corbin. We'll talk about it a little bit more, but of course this past week on Raw, The Miz did lose to Baron Corbin. And I'm not gonna lie, and I know Kyle and I both agreed a couple of weeks ago, Baron Corbin's rubbing on us. You know, he was away for a month, which didn't really feel like he was, but apparently when I was looking into it, and I heard on Sam Roberts' podcast last week that Baron Corbin was away for 4 to 5 weeks, just not on TV at all. I like that he's not wrestling in his blazer anymore, and I feel like we're watching like a fresh Corbin. Take away the character, take away what you think about him, his look, whatever, but watch his in-ring work. I've been thoroughly impressed. I don't know about you guys, but I've been pretty impressed with Corbin. Clearly a bad, bad heel. But of course, you know, The Miz is one of my favorites, but I did feel that he wasn't going to move forward, as especially after last week when we kind of saw him making his way back into the Intercontinental title picture. So yeah, so we got Samoa Joe versus Ricochet and Cedric Alexander versus Baron Corbin on the Raw side remaining. And then on the SmackDown side, we have Elias versus who we now know Ali, and then Chad Gable versus Andrade. I won't break down Ali and Gable just yet. I'll wait until my my little my Raw and SmackDown review, because I do have a couple comments on it, but that is where we are now. So we could easily play week over week every time people get eliminated. Who do we think? I'm still going to go with, I feel Ali and Andrade are going to be the last two. And looking at it now, I think Ricochet and Baron Corbin are going to be the last two on the Raw side. Looking where it's at, and I don't, my prediction was already eliminated, so I don't call this a prediction. I now just mainly call this a thought. But I do believe if, because I'm trying to think, if Andrade makes it to the end, they don't usually do heel versus heel. It's usually a baby face and a heel. So Ricochet and Andrade in the finals, or Ricochet versus Ali, which sometimes a baby face and a baby face is a little bit easier to get around. Because we can easily look at it as just two really good talents facing off. And I'll tell you, Ricochet versus Ali, not a bad match at all. So don't really have a concrete prediction, but I feel that, there's still lots of really good talent. Samoa Joe, I'm skipping over my words now, but Samoa Joe, could he go deeper than maybe we even think? Who knows? But yeah, we can predict all night and day, but King of the Ring, unfortunately, we failed this year. See you in 2020, if they do bring it back again. But hopefully you guys still have someone in the running. And hey, if you do, I'd love to hear you out. 613 Wrestling on Twitter, hit us up. Kyle and I are pretty active on it fairly regularly, so we'd love to hear what you guys think your prediction is. All right, let's continue my little note system here to see how it goes. And I will say, last week, recapping on my note system, I felt I was almost not as detailed as I wanted to be, but I almost went overly detailed. So I felt on some of the little instances, I kind of ranted a little bit, but I want to try something a little new. One thing that I love doing while watching Raw and SmackDown is I just have an old school little just clipboard piece of paper and a pen. And I just like kind of scribbling some notes, some highlights that I want to remember, or, ooh, I want to talk about that come the podcast. So give it a shot. So, of course, Raw, we had the opening. Sasha Banks in the back, cutting a little promo. Really, the whole opening segment backstage, the opening segment in general with Sasha being in the ring has all led to, of course, one of the big matches of the night, which was Sasha Banks versus Natalya. Natalya had a little bit of a disadvantage with her arm injury, but of course, coming out, we saw something a little different last week and the week before. Very pro Sasha crowd, almost, I don't want to say booing Becky, but not really recepting to her as much. I think kind of how Sasha's very unenthusiastic, lame, not really giving us much, meat to the story. Very vagueness she's been giving us has kind of caused the fans to go like, okay, well, you're back. That's great. We love you. We missed you. But give us something. Tonight, she gave us something, pure heel mode. And she vented. She kind of answered the questions that the other week Michael Cole tried to ask her. Where have you been? Why were you gone for 4 months? What was the reason why you were away? She talked about it. She's like, you know what? While I was, she didn't really say word by word, but what I took it as, while I'm sitting here in the tag team area, you have Becky Lynch sitting there main eventing WrestleMania. So kind of showing a little jealousy that Sasha would have loved to have main evented, and she feels she should have instead. And they even slightly broke the fourth wall. And one thing you don't see a whole lot in WWE specifically is talk about money. And she said, I hate the fact that Becky Lynch even made more money than me at WrestleMania. That was very interesting. Because if you really think about it, not saying that we've never heard anything about money, but it's usually more in the Million Dollar Man gimmick. Everyone's got a price. Not so much of her payday was bigger than mine. So I thought that was quite interesting. Obviously, what this looks to be, all of this is getting through Natalya to get to where we looks like we're going to get to, which I assume is going to be at Clash of Champions. I don't think that's been announced, but it looks like it's going to be Becky Lynch defending her Raw Women's Championship against Sasha Banks. The little promo ended with a fight. Natalya came down, attacked, brawled, pull away. Kind of ended that segment. Next thing you know, we got the Street Profits doing their thing, just kind of being the hype mans of Monday Night Raw, talking about the tag team turmoil match, a kind of gauntlet style match. They should have just called that a gauntlet, because really, it's a gauntlet match. But instead of one-on-one, it's just two versus two. So later on that night, we're going to have two will start, and after each pin, submission, disqualification, count out, whatnot, another team will come in, they will face after several teams. So we had the Lucha House Party, the OC, the Viking Raiders, Hawkins and Ryder, the B Team, Heavy Machinery, the Revival, and the new tag team of Ziggler and Rude. We'll talk about that. They go into that match a little bit later on that night. The winner of this tag team turmoil match, however, will be the number one contender to the Raw Tag Team Championship at Clash of Champions. So I like it. It's a little different. You know, we've had a couple of gauntlet matches this year. However, you know, tag team turmoil is a little different. You know, tag team eliminations. You know, so I like it. It's different and new. I think what got drawn out over the last couple of years was every time they didn't know, okay, well, who's going to be the number one contender for the Intercontinental Champion? Well, I don't know. A six-man ladder match, you know, four-way tag team match. Just put them all in a match together and we'll determine who's going to win. So it's something a little different, you know, and if anything, the tag team turmoil concept was really good because it allowed, you know, the WWE to almost show the fans where, hey, we have tag teams here in WWE. Tag team division is a little up and down, a little inconsistent, okay? But we got tag teams. You know, we have a dozen tag teams, and they're fairly good, and we're still making more. So more to come on that. Right after that segment backstage announcing the tag team turmoil, we had the next King of the Ring qualifying match. We talked about it earlier. Ricochet going up against Drew McIntyre. All I'm going to say is this was a fantastic match. Obviously, we thought Drew was going to win. Drew is the best, quote-unquote, worst heel you want, is that a heel that can win legitimately very easily. Those are the most pain in the butts because not only are you mad at them, but then you can't really get so mad because they're so good. So then you become frustrated and conflicted. And yeah, but I honestly looked at this as, it was, you know, power versus determination. Drew McIntyre looked strong. Ricochet was determined and also looked very strong, athletic. It definitely felt like a fight where it was Drew's match to win, but it was Ricochet's to take away. And Ricochet took it away. You know, nice, clean 1-2-3 right in the middle of the ring. No interference. You know, that's how I want to see it, you know, especially when we're putting new talent over and we're building and building. Not mad at it. Sucks that, you know, our prediction kind of get canned the week after we made it. But at the same time, Ricochet's hot right now and he's putting on great matches. You know, he's one of the really big reasons why Raw is very exciting. So definitely not mad at it. Then led up to a little segment backstage with Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, talking about them being tag team champions, talking about the tag team turmoil match. And then, of course, very easily, Braun, are you challenging me for my Universal title? I am. You're on. That easy. You go last week and Braun was like overly shaking the hand, couldn't stop staring at it. And, you know, Seth was kind of like, what are you doing? But this week it was, are you challenging me? Yeah, I am. Okay. Challenge accepted. Let's do it. So right away announced, which of course, one thing that they tried to coin right afterwards was potentially if Braun Strowman tonight defeats AJ Styles for the United States Championship, we can have the first time ever. And I guess if Seth and Braun get by their tag team match at Clash of Champions, you could have the first time that it's double champion versus double champion, because Seth would be the Universal and tag team, and Braun would be the U.S. and tag team, and they would face each other for one belt. That would be crazy. At the same time, I'm all about Braun looking strong, but you don't need to be stacking titles. If anything, it's kind of a little crazy enough that they're champions anyways. Because I think you could have had... It was really clever to use the tag team championships as a way to get them together more to get to the match. But I never like it when you use the title as a prop. I feel that is just, that's never good. Because a title, even though, yes, it's scripted, it's a prop. You know, they're not UFC or boxing champions. They are WWE champions. But, you know, at the same time, we want to suspend disbelief. We want to think beyond what we can think. And, I just don't like when they use tag team titles as a prop. And they kind of did in this sense. So we'll see where they go from here. Obviously, lots of unanswered questions about the championships for both of them leading into Clash. So we'll see. Next up, we had another King of the Ring qualifying match. As we know now, The Miz versus Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin won clean. A clean win from Baron Corbin. Kind of crazy. Is this the new Baron? Kind of talked about it earlier. Not hating it. You know, he's a heel. He's not bad. I think the thing about Baron before was he was kind of a little rusty sometimes, a little sloppy. But he's putting on clean matches. And once again, just like Drew, the worst type of heel you can have in a quote-unquote good way is a heel that can win legitimately. And The Miz is no pushover. If anything, I do like the fact that The Miz is not continuing in the King of the Ring. I like him in a title picture like the Intercontinental. I would love to see down the road The Miz in a WWE Championship picture. Kyle and I have been talking about that for many years, but we'll see. We can still hope. So that kind of carried on the brackets. A little bit of a heel promo afterwards. Baron putting on the crown, holding the scepter. King Baron, are we going to see it? Then, of course, lead right up to next, we had Bayley, the SmackDown champion, versus Nikki Cross. Bayley wins. There wasn't really much to it other than that. It was a decent, okay match. One thing that I kind of looked at when I thought of Bayley, you know, I feel like it sucks because, you know, when Bayley kind of first hit and big crowd favorite and, you know, when she won her first championship, if anything, it was probably too early. But then the kind of up and down, the mix, the tag team with Sasha, and then her, Bayley kind of, you know, with the whole Sasha going away and kind of crying about the whole WrestleMania and payday and, you know, her losing the tag team championship stuff kind of rubbed off on Bayley a little bit. And not saying that, like, Bayley had necessarily, like, I know Bayley had some attitude towards it too, but I kind of feel like the crowd looked at Bayley a different way because they looked at Sasha a different way. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like it's like a wasted run almost. Like, I wish there was a way to reset it all. But, you know, Bayley's been looking strong as the SmackDown champion, like legitimately beating people week after week, facing on both Raw and SmackDown each week and on pay-per-views. You know, so she's doing all the right things. I just wish that the crowd would kind of get behind her a little more. I think it is harder too, seeing as how Bayley has been a little sloppy in the ring lately. And we'll talk about more about that in my notes on Bayley's SmackDown match tonight, but the next night on SmackDown. Then, of course, right after that, we had the tag team turmoil match begin. We had the Viking Raiders kick it off against the B team. We haven't really seen the B team in a while. Viking Raiders made quick work of the B team. Next team to come in was the OC. OC comes in. Big thing, big mission. The OC wants their tag team championships back. They got to get through all these several other teams to do it. Can the OC do it? And OC and the Viking Raiders kind of brawl out a little bit and turns into a disqualification, a double disqualification, which then resulted in both teams are disqualified, both teams leave. So we're starting fresh. Don't really understand that part, but hey, it's what we got. Next up, two fresh teams, Ziggler and Rude come down versus Lucha House Party. And then it really is from here that we saw Ziggler and Rude put on a clinic on all the teams, taking out Lucha House Party. Boom. Revival come in, take out the Revival. Boom. Next up, former tag team champs, Hawkins and Ryder. Boom. Take them out. Next up, the final team in the tag team turmoil, Heavy Machinery. Very interesting. Kind of, you know, the thoughts are, you know, in my head going, well, is this where they give Heavy Machinery their push? Still too soon. I think we got to stop throwing these new good teams into championship matches right away. But Ziggler and Rude won. Ziggler and Rude took out four teams in a row to become the winner of the tag team turmoil match. and they will be taking on Seth and Braun at Clash of Champions for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Interesting take. I like their little promo in the back afterwards, where Ziggler was very big on, you know, like, you're looking at two main eventers here. Like, we're two single stars, but together we're unstoppable because we're both so good. So, hey, I don't hate it, don't love it. Well, I don't really know what it is yet. What do you guys think? Ziggler and Rude? Obviously, right now we can almost mop it up as it's something to do for the both of them. You know, like, but I don't know. Like, Ziggler trying to, you know, I guess, recoup his singles career, putting him in a tag team, worse, better, I don't know. But either which way, we know that first week they're a tag team, they're already number one contenders, which I think is kind of crazy, but hey, it is what it is. And you know it's going to be a good match, and good for Bobby Roode, and a little bit more of a spotlight than what he has been, especially over the last 7-8 months. Right after that, we had Sasha Banks versus Natalya, kind of the big lead-up from the beginning open of the show. Natty's arm was her Achilles heel, you know, that night. Ended with Sasha winning due to a submission. Sasha continued grinding, you know, wrapping that arm around, making it a little harder for Natty, putting a little bit more injury on her. But yeah, it was a good match. I think it's easier for someone to look really good when you know your opponent's hurt. So, you know, it was good to see Sasha back. Sasha's always been very good in the ring. But I think it's harder because Natty needed to play the role of someone with a big disadvantage, which can be very tough sometimes, I would assume. I don't really know. I'm not a professional wrestler, but I'd like to think that is kind of hard too. All right, next up after that, looks like the co-main match on Raw, Cedric Alexander versus Cesaro. Cedric won. What did it cost? Everything. Sorry, I had to. It costed his leg almost. Cesaro almost ripped it off. Cesaro, I'm so happy to see young superstars, Buddy Murphy, Ali, Chad Gable starting to get a little push. You know, Ricochet, Cedric, maybe Ricochet's a little bit more above the pack, of course, but Cesaro, God, how good is Cesaro? Like, the Swiss Superman, jeez. Like, that guy's so strong, so good, sells so well. Like, and I don't know. I don't have an answer to what do you do with him, but at the same time, it sucks because I just feel like he should be bound for so much more. But yeah, so let's hope, you know, hold a glass up to Cesaro. Great job, great work. You're a monster, you're a machine. But Cedric was the winner. Clearly now moving into the King of the Ring, we are going to be seeing Cedric take on Baron Corbin. So does Baron have an advantage now that Cedric's knee is a little injured? Big main event of the night, AJ Styles defending his United States Championship against Braun Strowman. Big talk of the night, and is Braun going to walk in, double champion, just like Seth is? Nope. Disqualification, AJ Styles wins, which is kind of crazy. Just kind of how it was all just put together. But I'll tell you, one thing that I loved about the match was as how Braun can look really strong, and he should look strong like 90% of the time. But I do appreciate when he is against top superstars and they give him a run. Calf crusher, taking down, you know, Strowman's leg. Really taking it to Strowman. I love seeing that because when you, like, undoubtedly there's levels in the game of wrestling. You know, there's levels when it comes to competition. You know, when I, like, for example, like, I think it was a year or two ago when Braun was in the elimination match when he literally pinned everyone. Like, I think he pinned like Bray Wyatt, he pinned John Cena, he pinned like everyone, Dean, Seth, I can't remember everyone, but then Roman won it at the end, but he pinned like the first 5 out of 7 people in the match. There needs to be levels to it. So when you are up against other top talent, even though Braun's so big, you need to be able to showcase AJ Styles' ability to be smart. and to be a ring veteran. You know, it's and they did that, they definitely did that in that match, which I really did appreciate. And at the very end, we saw Braun smash. Braun smashing everyone, slamming everyone. Braun was definitely the man on top at the end of Raw, which was great. It's great to see Braun Strowman back in a big position. And one thing I'll say, I'm not even going to talk about the details, but I'm telling you guys, if you have, number one, well, one of two things. Number one, if you've never listened to Sam Roberts' wrestling podcast at Not Sam, go give him a sub, go give him a listen. Recently, his podcast was actually, so he does a State of Wrestling, where he goes over five specific topics he wants to talk about, and there's usually an interview. And this, the most recent episode's interview was with Braun Strowman, and I'll tell you, I enjoyed the hell out of it. And it was a great and very humbling. Braun was very respectful, talking about his time, you know, getting up into the business, what he was doing before the business, how he paid his dues in different ways, his relationship with Vince, just his overall perception of him, his character, and everything else, and a little bit of the ups and downs. It was honestly, it was a great listen. I'm actually, you know, talking about it now makes me want to listen to it again. Maybe I might. But definitely, give that a listen. You will not regret it. All right, last up here, let's talk about SmackDown. So, next night, after Raw, Tuesday night, SmackDown. Coming up in several weeks, SmackDown's going to be on Fox. Very exciting. Very exciting to see all the changes. That's why I almost feel like nothing too major is happening. Because I feel we all need to be a little patient, because I think Fox is where we're going to see some of the big writing. Because you need something new and shiny and fancy. But of course, big thing walking into SmackDown is we saw Roman's attacker. It was a Rowan lookalike. What does he think? Daniel Bryan has demanded an apology for calling Rowan out when it wasn't Rowan. Daniel Bryan cracked the case. He wants an apology. So that's the big thing. And that was the big thing leading up throughout the whole night. So a couple of segments, but that was the main event. Kicking off, of course, the New Day. Kofi from the New Day had a nice little promo in the ring. Loved it. Great promo by Kofi. What I loved about it the most was it was a good babyface promo with attitude. It really helped shape, because obviously in the last, you know, couple of weeks, we've seen Kofi go a little crazy, a little, you know, especially at SummerSlam, going crazy on Orton with a chair and some heel movements. But no, we're not seeing no heel Kofi. He's a babyface with attitude. He's defending his family. He's standing up for what he believes in. Then, of course, during the promo, talking about, looks like he's going to have another match with Randy Orton at the Clash of Champions. Orton's on the Titantron. Kind of, once again, stupid. Talking about how stupid he thinks Kofi is for even letting Randy get close to him again. But Orton kind of says, hey, I got a letter from a little boy. You know, from a kid. You know, reads the letter. Talks about how Kofi's his hero. And ends up being Kofi's son that sent Orton the letter. Pretty crazy. Orton gets a little demonic, kind of says, like, hey, what am I going to do about it? I'm not going to do anything about it. Maybe I'll pay him a visit. Obviously, from there, a big brawl kind of panned out. That was also leading into what was also going to be a big match, which I was excited for, which was Big E versus Orton. So next after that segment, we saw another King of the Ring match, Ali versus Buddy Murphy. Very good match. That was tough. We've seen Buddy come off a big win versus Daniel Bryan clean in the ring. We've seen Buddy get some good segment time and some really good in-ring work. So this was tough. You know, the hard thing is, you know, so of course Ali has won, you know, shook hands afterwards. They're on good. But the hard thing is Ali. He had great momentum, you know, end of 2018, beginning of 2019, leading up to the Royal Rumble and everything else, and leading into WrestleMania when he got injured and Kofi kind of, quote-unquote, took his place and became champion. We don't necessarily know what would have happened exactly. Would have Ali been champion now? Who knows? But at the same time, I feel his momentum is a little slippery, but I think they're trying to get that back. And I appreciate how they're not trying to stuff Ali down our throats too much, because I think WWE hopefully has learned better than doing that to WWE fans. But yeah, it's kind of, can Ali get back up there? You know, will in this run in the King of the Ring, hell, can Ali win the King of the Ring? Who knows? But great match, you know. And what's great too is they made the match their own. I kind of thought, ah, this is going to look like a 205 Live, which is always a good match. But no, it was a very different match. It was very two young future top talents pushing, wanting to best each other to move on. In something so historic like the King of the Ring. So I love the match. I thought it was great. Told a great story in the ring. And I think these are two individuals that you're going to see big careers for moving forward. Little Bayley Ember Moon backstage. And who do we see? Lacey Evans. We haven't seen Lacey Evans a whole lot lately. She's back. I think the last time I remember seeing her was in that match with Becky and Seth versus Baron Corbin and Lacey, where it was like a title couples versus title couples, where if Baron and Lacey won, they became the women and universal champion. But no, it's great to see her back. You know, she had a good little run. It was very quick. It's nice to cool down. I don't necessarily know why she was away, but tonight we're going to see, that night we're going to see Bayley versus Lacey Evans. Miz comes to the ring, cuts a big in-ring promo. Obviously last week we saw Sami Zayn become the voice for Shinsuke Nakamura, the Intercontinental Champion. Zayn is speaking for Nakamura. Miz is really frustrated with that, kind of thinks, like, what are you doing? Why are you speaking for him? He should be able to speak for himself. Like, this is crazy. Then to get attacked, Nakamura attacks. Zayn did a really good job kind of hammering home, like, this is the King of Strong Style. And you kind of saw a little bit of it, and, you know, it was a big old kick to Miz's face. I don't know about you guys, but obviously, we're going to have to see a lot more before we start seeing, you know, and everyone's going to ask the questions, is this the old Shinsuke? Are we going to see the old Shinsuke? Who knows? But let's watch, to me, Shinsuke Nakamura versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship at Clash of Champions. Thank you. I will take that, especially if it's potentially The Miz coming in. Or are they using The Miz as a stepping stool for Nakamura? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But we'll talk about that more in the future. Then, of course, we've got the match. Bayley versus Lacey Evans. So here's the thing. This, to me, I was going to say like 70% sloppy. Bad match. 30% at the end. Redeem themselves hard. Maybe like 60-40. But just sloppy movement by Bayley. Bayley had some, and if you didn't see it, go watch it back again. You know, the back double arm roll up, very sloppy. Not a whole lot of commitment and strength on Bayley's end to try to make that happen. Some very blatant calls in the ring. You know, like tackle, drop, you know, drop down, hip toss. Like, just some of the things she was doing was very like, hey, now let's do this move. Let's do this move. And where they redeemed themselves was when Lacey just lost her lid, and either it was part of the match all along, or clearly both of these ladies said, like, you know what, we need, like, we're stinking up the joint, we need to turn it up. And then Lacey just started beating Bayley, big hits, big bumps, by big bumps to the corner, and then Bayley coming back with those big bumps too, and then kind of retaining where Bayley then won. So they were definitely redeemed themselves in the end, but I'll tell you, very sloppy at the beginning. I felt really, really awkward kind of seeing some of those moves, and there's that blatant call on the side where Bayley kind of like throws her hands up and kind of like shuffles around to the side, almost like, come on over here. But at the same time, she's like, tackle, drop down, hip toss, you know? So I don't know. Did you guys catch it? Let me know. Obviously a lot of this too, with Charlotte watching. Charlotte, a little clap of impression. Clearly, we're going to see Charlotte kind of try to make her way back to that championship against Bayley. Then we saw a match I was very excited about. Big E versus Randy Orton. I'll tell you, this made me close my eyes and remember the days when Big E was a single star. You know, Big E is a very underrated single star. And we saw that. And, you know, Big E looks strong, very good. You know, obviously at the very end, Orton won. But of course, and the with the revival assist, the distraction, and then the little, you know, double lift up RKO at the end, a little, almost like a 3D, but like a 3KO, like a Dudley's Death Drop, but RKO. But yeah, so it was great to see Big E in the match, in a singles match. We don't really get to see it often, but he moves well. He's quick. You know, when we talk about like these big boys, you know, like the Brock Lesnar's that are quick, fast, strong. Big E, very underrated. And we see that a lot. And we do give him that credit when he's in a tag team. But when you don't see him on the sideline 50, 60% of the time, and you see him in the ring 100% of the time, man, he's good. He's clean. He's crisp. Smooth. He knows what he's doing. So great job. And then we saw a little bit of a segment, a little bit of a 24/7 segment. Looks like we had the Truth, our Truth, roll up Elias at like this onstage band show that Elias was doing. So Truth, new champion. Fox anchor then pins our Truth at the Fox news station and then gives Elias the championship back. And then, of course, we went to like the now of the night on SmackDown, and Kevin Owens attacked Elias for some payback from the previous week. And then Drake Maverick comes up, boom, and new. Drake Maverick is your new, once again, 24/7 champion. What's old is new again. We haven't seen him as a champion in a while. He's been looking for that championship. Now the big question is, what is he doing? Is he going home to consummate the marriage with his wife? We'll find out next week, I'm sure, if he still has the title by then. Last little bit of SmackDown, King of the Ring qualifying match, or not necessarily qualifying match, but first round match, one I was looking forward to, and I'll tell you guys, it did not disappoint. Chad Gable against his former tag team partner, Shelton Benjamin. A great match. Ended with a roll-up win pin by Chad Gable, but I'll tell you, you know, both of these guys with a very, very heavy wrestling, you know, national wrestling background, amateur wrestling background, and what I loved about it was they weren't just rolling around on the mat the entire time. You know, very strong, very, very both to prove. Shelton's been back for a little bit now, and he's trying to pick back up where he left off several years ago. And Chad Gable, you know, he's young, he's up and coming, he's hungry. And I'll tell you guys, show me a bad Chad Gable match in WWE. Chad Gable looks good. God, he looks good. I know he's smaller. Talk of him going to 205. There's also talk of 205 Live going away. But I'll tell you, Chad Gable, love it. I've always thought he was money. I've been a big fan of him for a long time. But great performance, great match. They both complemented each other really, really well in that match. And I'm glad to see that Gable was the one moving forward. All right, main event. Almost close to wrapping up the show here, guys. The main point wasn't a match in the main event, but Roman comes down. Daniel Bryan and Rowan wants an apology. Roman, last week, Daniel Bryan showed you who the attacker was. It was a Rowan lookalike. Took a little bit of a twist, not going to lie. Ended up being, you know, Daniel Bryan and Rowan backstage. Rowan was like, you know what? Look at this. Let me show you this clip. And then it showed a different angled view when the barricade fell on Roman. And there was a hooded guy with a big red beard walking. But I don't get it. And like, you could almost still say that it was the attacker. But then it kind of turned into Daniel Bryan going like, what are you doing? You lied to me. Smacking him in the face. Get out of here. It wasn't me. And then Daniel ran all the way down to the ring. It wasn't me. Spear. Roman on top. SmackDown close. What do you guys think? Where are we going with all this? Was it Daniel Bryan all along? Did Rowan really stab him in the back? Is this a way for Daniel to become a babyface again? Is this going to be Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns at Clash of Champions? Or in the near future, will this be Rowan versus Roman Reigns? It's probably fitting to kind of start. Who knows? But that was Raw and SmackDown, guys. Hopefully you guys liked it. I liked it. It was an okay show this past, you know, Monday and Tuesday. King of the Ring wrapping up. A little bit, once again, a little bit disappointed. And Drew McIntyre couldn't just win it for us, eh? That's okay. But anyways, guys, that's it for me. Thank you so much, Kyle, for kicking off this episode. Definitely, once again, you can hit us up on 613 Wrestling on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and also 613 Wrestling on all podcast apps, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Anchor. I'm like, where are we on now? We're on Anchor. Anchor. Definitely check us out on Anchor. And one thing we love is reviews. Please give us a review. And the big one that I listen to is Apple Podcasts. You know, one thing that helps us out is when we kind of get some reviews in here, what you guys want to listen to, what you guys think. We love 5-star reviews, guys. So please leave us one or be an honest one. Even if it's not 5 stars, we still want to hear what you guys think. Thank you so much. Once again, my name is Mark. You've been listening to 613 Wrestling Podcast, and we will catch you guys next week. Take care.
Six, one, three, wrestling.